rooted in Jesus our King,
and we grow, we
branch
out, and we bear fruit. I need Jerry's motion. Let's do it again. We grow, we branch out, and we bear fruit. Thank you for that. This morning, we're continuing this series that's focused on our new vision statement, and I really, really love it. And I love to meditate on what it means to branch out. I believe we are called as individuals and as a church to branch out far and wide, to use the gifts that God has given us. And God has given us many things, opportunities, skills, talents, professions, whatever, possessions, whatever we have. God, what have you given me that enables me to reach out with love to others? That people are drawn into then a community of faith just by being around us, by developing friendships and relationships, and basically then waiting for Jesus to show up in those relationships. That's what we're going to focus on today. As individuals and as a church, can we enlarge our interactions with others to branch out into new areas, to become a home for others? If you'd like to turn in your pew Bibles, if you're at home, you can find this in your own Bible, to Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. We're talking about the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, who becomes big enough and branches out so that birds even come and build nests in its branches. This is on page 815 here in our pew Bibles. Reading from Mark chapter 4, 30 through 32. And again he said, "What should we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." This is that last phrase again. When it planted, it grows and become the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. I'd also like to read another passage. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, it's on page 786 here. Matthew chapter 5, reading from verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would show us your word for us individually and as a church this morning. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Lord, no matter what I say speak your word to every heart here in this church building as well as those listening online. Lord, we are ready to branch out, but we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Anoint us, open our minds and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many here would like to take on the newly emerged role in our society, in our world, of being an influencer? Anyone here want to do that? I said, Steve, sure. I bet you'd be really good at it, a few people here. So you may not have a TikTok channel or a YouTube channel or have those reels on Facebook or whatever, but all of you are already influencers. There's something called the paradox of engagement that describes a simple but frustrating rule of social media. As an influencer's reach grows, their actual ability to influence any single person usually shrinks. At first, they have a small crowd, people interact, they send messages, and people trust this person. There's somewhat of a relationship. But as their influence grows and grows up to millions of followers, there's no way they can respond anymore, and therefore they say that that influence is actually weaker. The influence that each of us can have on our own immediate social context is much greater than a famous person can have with millions of followers. And this is the paradox of the kingdom of God. God calls us to small things that will have a big impact. And each one of you here today have the potential of that mustard seed to grow and have a big impact in the kingdom of God through one-on-one relationships, through small things that we do that ripple outwards and have a big influence. So I want to ask you the question today, what is the scope of your influence? How are you using it? And does God want to enlarge the scope of your influence? I want to look a little bit at church history. What happened to the early church? You know, as a church, we have a tendency to circle the wagons, to come together and just say, oh, this is so good to be together. Let's just all hang out with each other. You know, I grew up in a Mennonite farming community in Missouri. We played volleyball during the summer every Wednesday night. We were all in church together. We had youth group and our friends. We did lots of stuff together, but I had no interactions with anyone who wasn't in our church. Sure, I went to school with them, but those friendships never went outside of school because I couldn't wait to get home and play with my good friends in my church community. In our church, we had lots of activities. We wanted to share the gospel with others, but basically we became a closed community that was very difficult for anyone else to come into. So looking at that in my upbringing, I'm asking the question for myself, how do I break out of it when I have a tendency to only be hanging out with other people who are already Christians? Do I have people in my life that I'm called to shine the light of Jesus, to be salt for them, that they will then find their way to come to know Jesus? So back to the early church. We read in Acts chapter 2 about the Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit was poured out and there was a great, powerful move of God. It said in verse 42, then following this, after Pentecost had come, and on the first day there were like 3,000 saved, then there were 5,000 added to their number. It was a huge thing going on in the city of Jerusalem. And it says then, starting in verse 42 of chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what's key here is they were being very effective in the city of Jerusalem. They were in the temple courts. They were out and about. I'm sure people were buzzing over with excitement. But it didn't go beyond much out of the city of Jerusalem. There were a few people who went out, like Philip the Apostle. He went to Samaria. He went to other places. There's a few other instances that are mentioned. But we don't really see any accounts of the gospel spreading far and wide until Acts chapter 7. This is probably about 3 to 6 months later. Stephen was martyred, and it says severe persecution broke out against the church. Reading from chapter 8, verse 1, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The result? The church scattered. They branched out, or rather, they were forced to branch out. This caused a dramatic spread of the gospel. People moved. They moved with their work and their professions. They began playing with others, and they began interacting with others in new cities. And this became the real beginning then of the mission of Jesus that he commanded his followers. He said, you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So today we're not focusing on the ends of the earth. We're focusing on right here in Mount Joy, our home communities, wherever you live, Lancaster, the surrounding area of Columbia, wherever our influence can reach. We want to focus on this influence that we can have and how do we branch out in ways to reach the people around us. The early church then, they became influencers in a new way because they found themselves among people who were not yet believers. Their joy, their lifestyles, and their witness resulted in new fellowships of believers all across the region. So let's talk about this a bit, about our personal influence. How can we break out and branch out? Like the mustard seed, you have the potential to branch out and to bless others. You possess a hidden and divine potential that will result, and already has resulted, in blessing many others. The grown-up mustard tree's branches become a home. The birds come and nest in its branches. It's a place of refuge and blessing for others. And we are called to be those branches, extending the love and the shelter of Christ's kingdom far beyond ourselves, creating spaces for others to find their rest and sustenance in the life that we share together. So first of all, that's an AI made mustard tree there. So we're not talking about the little bushes that grow on the ground. They're actual mustard trees, and they do get quite large. And so how do we become that? First of all, if we're going to branch out, let's not forget we've got to stay rooted in Jesus. It says it very well in John chapter 5, referring to Jesus as the vine, and we are the branches. It says here, if I'm the vine and you are the branches, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We think about that vineyard. You know that the branches, they are cultivated to go outwards. If have anyone here raised grapes before? I did a little bit. So the branches are going straight up. You prune those branches, you cut them off, and you guide the branches to go along a wire so they go outwards and branch out. And something else happens. They are exposed more to the sun's rays, and that's where the fruit occurs. If we only have a branch that's going straight up, the fruit will be very little. If you think about an orchard, how many people here have raised fruit trees? Okay, we have some people who are probably very good at pruning. But you prune out the branches that are going straight up, and you let the branches grow out, the branches grow that are going outwards. Think of that as we branch out and our hands are raised up. This is the place of blessing. Whenever we branch out, we will also experience more of the sun's rays upon us. We will grow more and more. When we aren't branching out, we tend to become stagnant. We could even say perhaps we become like a root-bound plant, stuck in one place. We can ask the question then, as we say, Lord, how can I branch out? Let's just ask these questions. Who do we hang out with? Who do we work with? Who do you play basketball with? Who do you interact with in any way? What is therefore the scope of your influence? And where is God calling you then to branch out? Sometimes it means actually moving, or it means altering our life then to find new ways of interacting with people. Where can I be, and what can I do where I'm going to naturally interact with others? So at a church where I served before, it was a Mennonite church, and we've sent out a survey, and we asked people to describe how many people do you interact with in a given week who are not already in church, either in your church or in a different church. Who here can guess what the percentage was of people who regularly interacted with people who are not in a church in that community? Anyone have a guess? A percentage? 10%, you're close. It was actually, someone said 20, 40. It was 8%. The community there had become so ingrown with businesses that were owned by Christians, and they went off to Christian schools and came back, and so most people in our church never interacted with someone who is not already in church. So for our goals of branching out and helping people find Jesus in a natural way were very difficult. And we realized we had a real task there. We're trying to learn then, how can we develop those surveys? We need to branch out, and then we'll be blessed in that. If we look to the metaphor of the salt of the earth, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt enhances flavor. We know that it's a preservative. But it must come in contact with food before it has any impact, before it has influence. We have a wonderful church here. This is the most thrilling church I've ever been a part of in my life. I can just say that with complete honesty. The warmest, the wonderful fellowship. But if we keep it all packaged here inside our church walls, it's not going to be very effective in terms of salt, our influence, our preservatives, reaching others. Salt is meant to give flavor to food. So we also need to ask then a question about our salt. First of all, are we salty? Do we have that salt in us that when we interact with others, some, I wouldn't say chemical reaction, but some type of reaction takes place? You know, if we're preparing meat to grill, it has to be salted well or else it's going to be slightly tough. We need to look and see, am I having some type of reaction from others? Now, hopefully, it's not a bad reaction where people are turned away from us. That sometimes happens. Hey, we're human. And as our church, what type of reaction are we getting from people? Are we salty? Sometimes our interaction will cause some people to get slightly offended, and that's okay. We need to stand up for the gospel. But we need to watch and say, is my life having an influence? Sometimes we don't see it, and most of the time we don't. But we need to keep being salty in a good way, bringing flavor and also impacting the culture around us. And you all are doing that. Wherever we are having an impact. You know, I worked for many years as an opera singer. I know that's strange to many people, most people, I think. But when I first started out, I was in a rehearsal in one of the conservatories that I studied in, and I noticed that people were not using bad language. And that was very unusual. Most of the places where I'd sung, I mean, come on, it was raw. And there are a lot of words flying around. It's a very passionate group of people. The mood there was temperate, and no one used bad language. So I asked someone after rehearsal, I said, why is it that no one here is using bad language? They said, oh, it's because we know that you and this other soprano named Kelly, we know that you're Christians and that you all be offended by that. So we're not using bad language around you. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And there was a good atmosphere in those rehearsals and enjoyed it. That's just one example. But believe me, wherever you are having impact. And I pray that God will open your eyes to see and see who are those people that he's calling you to have more influence, maybe to reach out with friendship, to invite them to a cup of coffee, to invite them to play basketball. Are our values, our behavior, our words, our attitudes, our politics, are they the saltiness that gives honor to God? And does it give witness to the saving and redeeming power of Jesus in our lives? In the Matthew Passion, chapter 5 passage, it goes on in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, one thing that I was really impacted by a few weeks ago was a memorial service of our dear Eileen Benner. And Galen is here with us today, and for years they have run a bed and breakfast, and I can only imagine, and Amy working with them and others, the impact they have had by loving hospitality. Mm-hmm. How can we find ways to reach out to others? One thing is the prayer of Jabez. I hope this is readable on the screen. It says in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain and God granted his request. This is a powerful prayer. In some ways, it might seem prideful. Enlarge my territory. But you know what? We can pray this. God, enlarge the territory of my influence and let me shine brightly for you. Let me be salt in more and more places and give me influence, Lord. I pray for it. And let your Holy Spirit be upon me to increase the anointing and the power of God wherever I am, that people's lives will be impacted. As a church, we can also pray this prayer. Lord, enlarge our territory. Enlarge our scope of influence and show us how, as a church, we can branch out and create spaces for more and more people to interact with us in natural ways. We give care, we give love, we give friendship, mm-hmm. But you know, it's God then who brings the growth. We can branch out through multiplication, through small groups, all those things. But mainly, we need to see where are the mustard seed possibilities among us. What are the things that we can plant? And it could be a small vision, it could be an idea, whatever it is, but what are these initiatives that we can begin that then will bring a harvest, that will welcome people to come into the branches that God has created here and find a home? As I mentioned earlier, every one of us has been given gifts and ways that we can reach out. Sometimes we don't recognize there's something that we already have that's very simple, that's an effective tool for reaching out. I'm going to ask Lori to come and share an incident or an example of someone that she saw doing this in, I believe, Ohio.
No,
right?
It's Chambersburg. So I was at one of our sister churches in Chambersburg a few months ago, and after the church service, I had lunch with a few of the couples, and I'm looking around, and I noticed that all of the women, and I think one of the men also, had very unique, obviously hand-knitted sweaters. So I was like, what's going on with this church that everybody has a hand-knitted sweater? And it turns out that one of the women in the church owned a yarn shop, I think the only yarn shop in the area. And she, along with some of the other women in the church, started knitting classes. And it was through this that they started forming relationships with so many people in the community, including people who otherwise never would have come to church. And pursuing their passion of knitting and needlework led to a way to build authentic relationships with other people. And I thought it was such a creative idea.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. One thing that Lori and I experienced was on the mission field in Hungary. We went there, and our goal was, and how we've been trained, was build relationships, learn the culture, learn the language, and then invite people to your Bible studies and teach them the Bible. At one point, I was blessed to run into someone on the street who was wiser, a Hungarian, Romanian man, and he just said, Tim, what you're doing is never going to work here. And he invited us to learn from him. Lori and I went and learned. We'd been there 5 years at that point. We'd seen some fruit, but things weren't taking off. What we saw was he had a coffee shop. It was actually in Romania, a university ministry. And he says, we just invite someone to come speak. They may be a Christian, and they may not. But a lot of the people are Christians, but they invite their friends, and lots of people can come in. It doesn't feel like a Christian place. It's a normal place. It's a cafe, a coffee house. But when people come in then, and we have our meeting, we have a good discussion, you know what? Jesus always shows up. I kept meeting people at this university that were part of this ministry, and they're like, yeah, they told me their testimonies of how they'd come to know Jesus through the witness of this man and through this coffee house ministry. So for us, it seemed very unspiritual. They weren't sharing the gospel. They weren't leading people and leading Bible studies in that context. But we said to each other, well, obviously what we're doing isn't working, so we might as well give his method a try. So what he told us to do, he says, Tim, you're a musician. Do concerts with your network of Christian musicians that you have in Hungary, and then each one of them pray and say, who around you is God already calling, and then invite them to do a concert with you. Tell them uphand, we're Christians, we're gonna do this concert, and we want to experience the divine presence of God in our music. So we started inviting people to do a concert with us, and you know what, we were never turned down. Every person we asked said, well, who wouldn't want to experience that? So we would start our rehearsals with a little scripture, a little prayer, and then just allow the conversation to flow. And guess what? People began to experience Jesus among us. That's when our mission and our ministry really took off and it grew. It taught me a lot to know the culture that we're in and find unique ways using our gifts, just being authentic. I'm a follower of Jesus. This is what I do, not hiding it, and then letting Jesus do his work. It means praying a lot. We were praying a lot for the people that we were around, but it was just beautiful then to see a new way of doing ministry that's a whole lot easier, a lot more fun. I mean, I love studying the Bible, but trying to convince people to come and join with me that were very reluctant, didn't want to, this provided a natural way. So I want to close with this challenge. What are the mustard seeds of vision and faith in our community? What can we plant that God will use to bring many to know him and to find a home here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church? You know, we are seeing some things emerging. It's really exciting. The community garden is one, a natural way to do gardening together that's going to be launched this spring. We hope maybe someday we'll have a playground. We'll see how that goes. Maybe volleyball courts. Who knows? Maybe you have ideas about things you'd like to do or things that aren't on this church property but that go out and give an even better chance of interacting with people. So I hope all of us here today that we can just say this prayer. Lord, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my influence. Let me be a mustard seed that you plant and then nurture me to grow and grow and branch out that others find a home among us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you branched out in a really big way and came to this world. You came, Lord, and became one of us, and you brought life to us. We thank you, Lord, that you taught us and you showed us the way of salvation. Lord, thank you for paying that ultimate price by going to the cross, Lord, and giving your life for us, and that you rose from the dead, and then in you, Lord, we are raised up to life with you. We ask you, Lord, plant us. Show us where. Give us vision, Lord. Give us clarity. Lord, we want to branch out and show your love to the hurting and lost people around us. And we cannot do that, Lord, without you. We ask you now, send your Holy Spirit. Anoint us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Just stand and see what.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise.